Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the House of Cards recap for episodes 1 and 2. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We are back. Welcome, After Buzzers. House of Cards is here. My name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Hi, everyone. I'm Louisa Sharamatian. You can find me on Instagram and YouTube at Nobody Reads Anymore and on Twitter at Nobody Reads.
Hey, guys. I am Kevin Ellis. So excited to be back on House of Cards After Show. God, it's been a year.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Kevin Ellis.
Yeah, I get the tingles when I hear this music.
Yeah.
It's like, I missed it
so
much.
It was so hard not to binge watch
this
season. Only one and two.
Just so you guys know, for you guys, we do, every episode we cover two episodes, and we're not binge watching. So, like, when you hear predictions
so
they're actually real, you guys will probably think we're idiots, because you guys will probably know well before we do what's going on.
Exactly.
But that's how we're running the series. But yeah, wow. What'd you guys think just overall? Were you just blown away?
So powerful.
Yeah.
In the first scene when he was talking to the full court, he was so angry. He's like, I will not yield. I will not.
Oh,
I've never seen
Frank
like that. Yeah.
I think the cool thing about just this whole series is that we've seen this character trajectory with all of these different characters. Frank in particular,
yes.
Where you knew he had all of this potential to be this almost authoritarian type figure.
Yeah.
And now he's totally embraced it. And you get him on the floor of the House of Representatives, and he is almost saying, he's saying to the House leader, I don't give a crap what you're talking about. I'm not yielding. I'm standing up here. Yeah.
I have a funeral to attend.
Yeah.
So there's bigger fish to fry. I'm out of here.
I'm the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And
respect me.
Almost dictator-like.
It was crazy. And obviously, we'll touch on this a little bit, but not too much. But there's a lot of parallels between what's going on with Trump and what's happening now. But what I think is interesting is it makes almost House of Cards really a lot more plausible. Because I'm like, well, could a president ever go inside Congress and address him in that manner? But we have a president that does kind of what he wants. So I don't know if it's going to help or hurt the series that now everything's plausible. Are we less shocked by Frank or more shocked?
I believe everything that he does. Like, every scene for me, I feel like Frank Underwood opens up more to me.
Yeah.
Every episode, I see a new side of him. I'm just waiting to be more surprised.
I don't think that there's anything that Frank could do that would surprise me at all.
Yeah. You love him or you hate him.
We thought that he, and we discussed this before the show, but I straight up thought that he was going to end up murdering their prisoner, who had actually, the Eichel prisoner, that it was not far-fetched for him to take a gun and shoot a man in front of the FBI assistant director and his chief of staff of the United States. That's not crazy in this world.
Frank could do it. Yeah,
if anyone could do it.
And that's brings up another thing. Eichel is kind of another character. Eichel is part of our ecosystem. What do you guys think about the way the Underwoods are using Eichel to...
They're using it for their benefit.
Yeah.
Distracting it so they don't get investigated with the crimes that they've done.
They are doing the perfect thing to do to get to the goal that they want.
Yeah.
And that is almost a dynastic, possibly authoritarian rule over the United States, because you know full well that the end goal is for Claire to also become president.
Yeah.
Like, that's their goal.
Brilliant.
And you can't deny that it's a terrorist organization that's like doing stuff.
Yeah,
right?
It's a terrorist organization. And they have some clout. And they are, around, but is it enough to deploy the National Guard to every voting booth in all of
they
the swing states?
Crazy.
That's questionable,
yeah.
And that's not democratic, and that's what they are touching upon, is this fine line of, we are no longer the United States that we once were, we're the United States of Claire and Frank Underwood.
Yeah.
And it's that power couple that we see. Even though they both have different lives, they support each other's careers so much, and that's why I love this show. Every season, the relationship gets more complicated, but we see a different dynamic, even with Claire and Tom, and how he accepts that relationship that Claire has with Tom, and they still come together at the end of the day as that power couple.
Yeah, and I love it, because they actually changed showrunners this season, so we got two new showrunners, but they kept that tone and that balance of always feeling like you're on edge.
Yes.
And I thought that scene in the church was when they go to the Miller's the funeral.
The fake cry, you mean? The fake cry.
Well, the fake cry, and then the way the daughter reacted to Frank. I was like, she's about to blow this.
Whispered in the president's ear after we found out that he said, I want you to die, and I want your wife to be president. So that was very scary.
Yeah, did you guys feel that sort of tension, like, when you went up to speak at the podium?
Oh, I thought that she was going to go up there and just start blurting.
She was medicated.
Yeah.
She was medicated, but I was not sure whether or not she'd actually taken her medication, whether or not she was just telling her mom, like, yeah, I took it, but I was waiting for her to say something to not only the national audience, not just the people in the church.
And that scene when Claire was, like, fake crying and Conway looks at her like, please, I know you're not crying.
And I love the hand from Frank. I mean, and that to me almost was like a microcosm of their coupledom, you know?
Yeah.
She has an idea and he says, let's take a little bit further. Mm-hmm.
They're so perfect together, I just have to say.
Yeah, I felt like, did you guys feel like this was almost a reignition of their relationship? Because I guess they kind of came together at the end of last season, but now we see them really gelling to the way we saw them in like that season one.
Last season, I think they really hurt each other. They both took stabs at each other. And this season, they've been through it all. They both trust each other so much. And I think they're uniting because she wants to be a VP very bad. Yeah. And he's going to make it happen for her. That's what I think.
Oh, I think that we can touch upon one of the scenes in particular when they were on the rooftop and they were having this very, you know, heart-to-heart moment in that Frank was showing her all of the people that he is in rule over and that they are looking for a leader. And there was just this tension that I felt between them that I haven't felt since like early season two.
Yeah.
And it was palpable. I'm looking forward to a rekindling of the relationship.
Yeah, but also, did you both realize how Claire, I think, wants his attention? Frank said, oh, you're late. You should go see Tom. As a husband, I don't think, you know, it's like, you know that your wife is sleeping with another man. And I think she wants him to desire her. And he's still not doing that. Is that what you feel? Or
well, I got that he was showing to some degree his displeasure, but acceptance of what was happening.
Both. Okay.
Yeah.
Both.
So, like, but you have another man, that's where you should be tonight. You know, what are the king and I, what are the king and lady doing tonight? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I got the same feeling as well, in that both of them are at a point where they are so secure with their positions.
Yes.
And now they're on equal footing. Mm-hmm. Go back to season 2-3, especially at the end of season 3, and Claire wanted to practically, it was getting to the point where divorce was not, it was not far-fetched.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now the two of them are almost on equal footing. If anything happens to Frank, Claire is president, and that's, as I've mentioned before, it's been her goal this entire time. Mm-hmm. It was their, it's since they met each other.
Yeah.
And even towards the end, I think the way the episode one ends up with that song Camelot, when he's humming, he's saying, I wonder what the king is doing tonight. That just a scream that I don't know what I'm doing and I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, and I think going...
Oh, you took it as that. Huh.
Yeah. That's how I saw it, yeah.
Oh, I saw it as the complete opposite in that I was thinking that it was almost a song of... He was looking at all of the citizens, especially those who were just on the, you know, outside of the front lawn of the White House, and they're like, you know, they're the peasants, and they're wondering what is the king up to?
Yeah.
They're looking for a leader, and he is that guy.
And Claire,
I thought that was more of, what is the king up to, rather than what is he doing? Yeah,
right.
They have no idea how he's, like, manipulating them.
Because Claire mentioned and said, keep them from what they are afraid to know. Keep them from what they don't want to know.
Yeah, which is our president's really scheming and
manipulating
them.
That's how it ends. Such a great way to end episode one.
And I love the way he went out and they shook the hand. You have nothing to fear. You have
nothing
to fear.
Everything's perfect, I swear.
Totally juxtaposed the end of the last season and his last words being like, pretty much, let there be fear.
Yeah.
So it was just fantastic.
So. I love the we see a little bit of the Conways. They always give us little nuggets and insights into their relationship.
Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of when Hannah Conway went out and she spoke on behalf of the mother of the terrorist.
Yeah, I mean, she... As I remember from last season, there was a moment in time where Will was almost in such an aggressive form. He was so irritated.
He was hungry.
It was definitely in their house, and I think it was, God, I'm trying to remember this specific moment, but I really thought that he was going to hit her.
Yeah.
There's this pent
up anger
within him.
When she was putting the baby to sleep or something.
Oh yeah,
and he said, "Hurry up, we're leaving from here."
Yeah,
but that wasn't the moment where I thought he would hit her, but But that was definitely a tense moment.
The relationship is unfolding, though, between them. Especially with, he doesn't like that Hannah is talking to the terrorist mother. He said, take that off of your social media. Well, he didn't really say that, but she posted something on Instagram.
Yeah.
Feeling for the mother.
And then that conflict between them, it almost felt like he might just go ahead.
I think that's, for sure.
And then we saw her snap back, you know.
Yeah, and it goes even deeper to where you see even his vice presidential nominee. He's also, the second that he says something different from what Conway, wants to communicate, I mean, he's on top of it, and he's talking to his chief of staff saying, this is, we need to focus the message. Clearly, Will is a complete control freak, and he feels as if his own message is unraveling, that Frank is starting to get the better of him.
Yes.
Yeah, because they had to suspended campaigning, but Frank is really there campaigning, and he's getting to be in the media, and you get to see him so much more visibly.
Totally.
And we see the real-life dynamic of the couple, that they're not so perfect. Both of them, they have the aesthetics, they have this perfect family, but we see how, when you go deeper, not so perfect.
What did you think about Hannah's argument, though, to Will?
I think she was just saying, I feel for him, because he's a child or a teenager who was lost, went through the wrong path, and needs help. That's how she was looking at it, I think.
Yeah.
I think she was looking at it from a very maternal perspective, similar to how a very normal Claire Underwood might take it, but I mean, clearly she's taking it from a hardline approach, just like Will and Frank are. You have to look at the greater good for the country, not necessarily what.
But I just like the message that the mother of this guy is also hurting. The mother, she's really an innocent in many ways,
heartbreaking.
Everyone's hurt. We should be helping everyone that's been hurt, even if they're on the other side of it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I just thought it was interesting because we're kind of, because even though this is fictitious, we're living in that world where things are happening around us, and then, we're blaming certain people and blaming parents and what have you.
Yeah, in times of total trial, or in times of when you have a moment where you have a terrorist attack or something like that, you always blame everybody who is a part
of
that.
Someone associated, yeah.
Every association. You think that, that person could have seen this, that person could have stopped that.
Yeah.
When in reality, it was that person's decision to take that action.
Yeah.
And sure, there might have been some warning signs.
Yeah.
But in the end, there's no other person who is culpable other than the individual.
That's what Claire said. But Claire, like, point. You know what.
But Claire brilliantly takes advantage of that little point.
Oh my god! She would. Claire would if anyone would.
She's so effective at it, and even when she did that that PSA at the top of episode one, which was it was classic Claire.
Absolutely.
Are we good? Are we
good? Let's do one more.
Another
time.
Take if
one
she needs time. To. Wow. Yeah. She's an excellent politician.
And
dresses so well. Can we just say how beautiful her outfits are?
She's always someone you wish you could be, and then you realize that she's really kind of tough and cold and hard.
Modern day Jackie Kennedy. Her outfit. Just polished to the teeth.
Yeah. In the look.
Robin Wright, I love your outfits.
Not in heart.
Not in heart. Not in heart, but outfits.
Yes. We also had the Aiden scandal and kind of trying to cover up,
That man is wired. What is he on?
Well, I mean, his life was on the line. Yeah. His butt was on the line this time.
Oh, yeah.
What do you guys think of Aiden trying to cover his tracks, and do you think he covered him successfully?
I don't know if he covered it successfully. You know, he texted Lorraine. No, that's her name, right? Lorraine, I think, and said, I need to see the man. Did you see that text? And they went to the basement, and Frank was so...
Leanne.
Frank was so mad at him. Yeah. Didn't even let him speak.
It was almost just this point of view from Frank that, I'm the president, I don't need this, get the job done.
Yeah.
And what was fascinating to me, I don't know about you guys, but when I was watching that scene, I felt the tension. I was worried what was going to happen if they didn't get this done in 20 minutes' time.
Yeah.
Because we had no clue, because Frank did not let him finish. And so Agent is just in this situation where he can't even access at moments in time his own system. And I was freaking out for him.
And they play that scene with high drama. He's like sending the message. You can't get the message.
It's
in the room.
Yeah. And then you hear the films, the series score kind of elevated with each episode.
Yeah.
By Jeff Beal. Such a great job with the series.
Totality is amazing.
Oh my god, beautiful.
And I love they had a little Harambe reference. So when he texts, texts the hackers to like, here's the back door, the link says for Harambe.
That's a really good catch.
I like that they were able to bring it back.
Make it present day.
And yeah.
right after the 1 year anniversary too.
Yeah, it was literally just like days perfect, after. Perfectly timed. I'm sure. I wonder if they knew it. You know?
Yeah.
And this was the first time that actually we see Claire being attacked with the paintball.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, last season it was Frank.
Yeah.
But now it's like Claire going under, even though it was paint, but still it's scary. She was so scared. Did you see how she was shivering?
Yeah.
When she was walking to the car.
And I think that's going to bring them closer together because they both feel under attack and they both are trying to get to this place where, you know.
And of course, Tom was helping her clean up.
I do want to go back a little bit to that one scene with Tom and Claire. So they have an intimate moment and
finally they show it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seemed like things were about to go the way they always go. And then it ends. What did you guys think about? I felt a change in their relationship.
Definitely.
She said, I'm not always being careful. She said something like that, like, I don't want to be careful. Yeah. And then they showed the scene with both of them being intimate, and then it just ends.
Yeah.
I think it's shifting. He is realizing, because he said, oh, what happens if you're a VP? Am I the VP's first boyfriend? Yeah. Did you hear that comment? He doesn't like it. He's falling for her. She's going to get rid of him.
And some degree, it almost looked like she was like, I don't know if you're going to be around at all.
I mean, there is an element of whether or not, if Tom gets to the point where he no longer feels he is close enough to Claire, mm-hmm. and Frank and Claire push him out.
Beware, Tom.
He's done for. There's no way that you can keep Tom around with all of the secrets, everything he knows about that relationship. He knows too much.
Yeah. He's fishy. The way he was talking to his friend, you know, about the position that he is, he's like writing the speeches for them and all that, but the friend's on to him.
Yeah. I was surprised that he even took on that conversation in the first place.
At all.
Right.
And, you know, I think maybe sometimes, like any relationship, you know, maybe start off, you're not in a relationship on Facebook quite yet, and then you're waiting to get there, and all of a sudden you want to be more visible and you want people to know.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like that's where he is.
Well, Leanne is on to him.
Oh, yeah, Leanne knows.
Him. What is he up to? And then him stealing his Claire's earrings for the night. Did you see that? Yeah. Looking so at her lingerie. Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah,
so
things are getting a little strange.
I was waiting for him to. I was really afraid when he pulled them out. I'm like, I swear to God, if Tom sniffs this right now, I'm done.
Don't take that turn. I don't want that show to be like that.
Hey, well, you have predictions for that later on. Yeah. So, what did you guys think about Hammersmith, the little thorn in Frank's side, always needling about this article and what's going on? He's almost lost a little bit of teeth because he's been at it for a while. It's just nothing's really hit in the way he wants.
You know, he's on to him. He's lost two solid, amazing reporters. He wants to crack the case.
Yeah. And he at least has to feel somewhat accomplished. And now that it's gotten wind throughout the press. Not only that, but the whole country is aware. It's a voting topic. Yeah. And you have the House and the Senate conferring about whether or not they're going to investigate Frank, and now they're going to use this war committee to investigate Frank. So he's made some waves, and it's showing now. It's whether or not he can really put the nail in the coffin.
And Doug is panicking.
Oh, yeah.
He's going crazy.
But did Claire kind of shut him down during that little tete-a-tete?
Oh, the Charlie Rose interview?
Yeah.
She said...
Do you love Charlie Rose? I love that.
It's great.
She said, basically, you're saying no one's talking to you from the White House? Hello, I'm here. I'm First Lady. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to unfold every episode. We have to wait and see.
And it almost made him look, like, in some ways a misogynist, as if, like, you know, here's, like, this woman here who's the First Lady, but you're not talking to the White House.
Exactly.
And I like that Hammerschmidt brought on a new team member who is at least showing that he can possibly pay some dividends here. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not he plays a bigger role in this investigation.
Well,
you have to imagine, yes.
He said, I heard that you can get people to talk.
Yeah.
And he said, after I get them to a bar after 8 p.m., you know, so I think he's just waiting to see what he can bring to him.
Speaking of getting someone to a bar at 8 p.m., what were you going to say?
I was going to say Seth.
Seth.
Seth taking a turn.
He's trying to work out a little deal.
Well, and he's always up to something. Yeah. He's always like, is he going to... he's going to take the best deal available to him, and he's always got a backup plan.
Yeah.
And I think Seth... though this time around, it feels a little bit more real. Like he really wants to get out before shit hits the fan.
Yeah, right.
Because I mean, he really has some beef with Doug. Yeah. I mean, Doug.
Doug was that a little bit of a gangster.
The cup scene last season.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was a gangster last season.
Yeah, it's like he put it down.
He did
not mess with me.
threatening to kill him. I mean, and Doug pretty much made it clear that I will kill you if you do anything.
Yeah.
So it's really between who's gonna win, Stamper or Seth?
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Doug, I just have to say, I want him to be happy. I want him to find love, especially that girl, that woman from third.
Doesn't need to find love. Doug needs to be by himself, alone.
No, he needs a caretaker, someone to cook for him, and just, you know, the fourth season, you know how he was going out with the woman of the man who died? With
yes.
Transplant. Yeah. Yes.
Which was already, but that already was like just a that's a bad history.
I think she's gonna come back.
Yeah, it's a bad history. No, it's not gonna
end. She's gonna come back at all. So we'll see.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
predictions.
There was a spark. There was a spark.
Because, I mean, you know that Doug can keep secrets, but you have to be self-aware of the fact that, yes, I'm sleeping with a woman who I, in essence, I killed her husband.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just awful.
Oh, God.
But speaking of other deaths, we did have a really sad one that might be affecting Frank's heart. We had Tim, the college
past lover.
Oh, special relationship? I don't know.
yeah, it has to say.
So yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I remember, what was that? Season two?
Season one.
Was that season
one? Yeah, season one.
God, it really feels like it was sooner than that. But, I mean, it's interesting that, I mean, you have to assume that he even kept these photos. Oh. In the desk resolute in the Oval Office. Like, this guy's close to Frank, or at least was.
Yeah.
And for him to even stop one of his, you know, monologues that he was having in front of the fireplace, teaching us all how to light a proper fire, pauses, and has to speak, and he's almost choked up by the fact that, you know, Tim lost his own life, and clearly there's some interesting
there
past.
Yeah.
The question is, what did Claire know? Because I was a little surprised that there was some shock in her own eyes when she was finding out from the guy in the subway.
It seems she didn't know a degree. And why is this old friend letting Claire know that they had a special relationship? He added in things to, like, let her know, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was bizarre.
It was very peculiar.
But I'm wondering how Frank is going to take this. But did you like the reassurance that he gave Claire that you're the one that I love?
Yeah, I thought it was a very intimate moment, and clearly she was longing for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that he actually was there for her in that regard.
Yeah.
You guys, I have to mention, we have so much love from our chat.
We do.
Hey. So the something cast said, Doug is a lone wolf, relationships of any kind don't work for him.
Exactly, we're on the same page.
So true.
But, yeah, so I love that scene of reassurance. But I love that Claire almost felt, she was almost hurt and taken aback by it. And that, to me, indicated that she really does love Frank in this really deep way, and she's kind of moving away
from but she knows deep down that her husband, you know, was in love with a man previously, and she can't compete with that, and she knows that.
Do you think so?
Yes, do you think that love was greater romantically than his love?
Really?
The way he was looking at those pictures before going to the fireplace and getting all emotional, you didn't see how he was looking at those pictures?
Oh, I did.
No, there's something deeper.
There might be.
The friend even said...
Well, the friend was really... You know? The friend was like, if this was in the 70s or whatever it was,
he called Beth, you know, he said the same thing that he said to Claire. He's like, oh, you know, Tim said you were the love of his life, but no, they're onto something.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I think that there is an element where if it was in the past, I mean, Claire is his life partner.
Yeah.
She is the key to his ultimate goal, which has been the presidency and almost absolute power. So she's been there for him, and there's no way that he would be able to get to the point where he is without Claire.
Without Claire, absolutely.
I hope we see some flashbacks or get a little bit more of that backstory. I went back and watched that episode, and Tim didn't seem to have that deep of a longing for Frank in the way that Frank had seen Tim, so it would be interesting to see.
We have to wait and see how it unfolds, but I'm just happy we're getting more of an insight into Frank's past.
Yeah, into the hit. Because how do you become a Frank Underwood?
Yeah, right? Oh, I know.
Yeah, what is the turning point?
And so we also get to this whole thing idea of voter suppression, which is interesting to me because, so Frank's a Democrat and, you know, Conway's a Republican, but typically voter suppression helps Republicans. So they've really invested a different type of... They've created a different type of world for us. Mm-hmm. I think partially to help us lose ourselves in this world. But what do you guys think about these voting censures that are necessary?
I think that it's...
Necessary.
Yeah, they're necessary. Well,
air quotes.
What's so interesting is that it's almost a Nixon-like approach in that he's almost paranoid that he is going to lose, even though Nixon in the second election had literally the largest electoral college victory of any president in history. His opponent only took home, what, Massachusetts and the District of Columbia. Actually, well, maybe Reagan had a bigger one when he was against Mondale. Anyway. You know, Mondale took Minnesota. I thought he took D.C. too. Anyway. So, but it's just the fact that, like, that Frank is... It feels the only way to go about this is to manipulate the National Guard into, you know, going about populating these voter booths to almost keep people out,
yeah,
especially in the swing states. And we bring back Matthews, the former vice president, which is an interesting wild card, though he was so ready to play this game.
And didn't you love how Matthews was pretty much on to Frank from... He's like,
from the start.
Look, from pretty much I have two versions of what took place, and one version like doesn't make you look good at all.
Yeah, but he's so ready. He was like a vintage politician. Mm-hmm. He's thinking... You know what? There's no way to fight this beast, so I might as well take something while I can get it.
Yeah, but he certainly was unprepared for the questions he got in that committee. What do you guys think about that interrogation?
I think he was very unprepared.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, I think he has to do what he has to do to save himself.
Yeah.
I think for the House of Cards to crumble, there's got to be a huge... like unified front on all of the people that have beef on Frank and Claire. I mean, you have to have not only Remy, Garrett Walker.
Remy, I want him back.
And, and you have to have.
Charlie,
I mean, Tom. Tom has to be in the mix too, because without Tom, I mean, you don't have the personal details that can really take down Claire and Frank. But.
Did we see how checked out the current VP is, Donald?
Oh,
he doesn't care. Did you see that one scene? Kate is it Secretary of State?
Oh, Jane Atkinson plays
Catherine
Durant.
Yeah, I was like, I think.
Did you see that scene when he's like, you know, when she said, you can chime in, and he wasn't saying anything, and he told her, I told you to leave, and you didn't listen to me. But he's waiting for January.
He just wants to be out of it.
Away. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, the entire two episodes are amazing, but we got to get into predictions now.
Totally. So.
Wait, do we get the prediction music?
Here we go.
I missed that.
Okay.
It's been too long.
So much.
Predictions.
Let's see. I think I want more from Hannah, Conway's wife. So I'm waiting to see how her character is going to unfold. Also, I want to see the real Tom Yates. What is he on to?
Well,
you know, his fishy.
And he had that. He did try to hook up with Frank before.
Yes. So
which was interesting.
A
meet
your threesome.
I'm trying to think of really big predictions. Let's say Frank wins the presidency. We'll assume that he'll you know, be reelected. I think at some point in time, I don't know if this season, but I definitely know if it's not this season, it's next season. But I have to assume that at some point in time, Claire is going to be acting president, or at least that's my feeling that I'm getting.
She kills Frank?
I don't think she kills Frank. No.
She'll do that.
No, I think Frank will either be impeached or jailed. I don't know, but I said that last season. Like, that was my big prediction, is that at some point in time. So I'm taking my prediction from last season and I'm moving it another season, because I still feel like that's the end game.
Yeah.
But I feel like Tom is going to die. Yates.
Yeah, you said that earlier, so I'm
I'm with you on that one, because I don't see how else it ends for him. Unless he's voluntarily willing to go away.
Right, I don't see that happening.
No.
Yeah. He's not going to get paid off. He's got too much of an emotional attachment to Claire.
Yeah, he's already creepy with the...
Creepy with the...
a little creepy, so...
Yeah. Beyond that, what about you, Shaka?
Well, yeah, definitely that. My big prediction, definitely Yates. He'll be gone. He'll be a goner. This is tough. Well, yeah, Frank will win the presidency.
Yeah.
That one's an easy one.
What do you think comes of Will if Frank does win the presidency?
I think he becomes that sort of vocal critic, you know?
Okay.
The whole Aiden Polyhop, that whole deal, not Polyhop, but I think Polyhop will come back up to kind of hurt Conway.
I think so too, yeah. Good call.
But the whole Aiden deal, that just, it was too herky-jerky when he's, you know, letting them in and then, sending the email, like, okay, here's how to fix it, and the email couldn't send. I was left feeling like something's unfinished here.
Yeah.
And
no,
so,
you got a point.
Yeah, I do think that if there's an impeachment or any talk of it, it's going to come from, obviously, it'll come from that. So I think that that's not done. I think that hasn't been wrapped up at all.
I like that because the rigging of the election in general is something that could totally unfold.
Yeah.
And would definitely be a cause for something that Claire was not involved in, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was mostly Frank. I think she knows about it because she was in the Oval Office, I believe, when they were discussing it. But it's been mostly Leanne and it is Aiden.
Aiden.
So,
yeah, I think that's definitely coming back to haunt them. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was just like, because they're very good at dropping little things. You're like, is that person going to come back?
Well, and I don't remember his name, but the new guy that Tom Hammerschmidt has hired,
yeah,
I think he is going to break somebody within the administration, and he's going to learn something crippling.
Well, he knows something's up in the restaurant. He's like, what's happening with all this social media shutdown?
Yeah,
he's on to it.
He seems super bright.
Oh yeah. And I feel like Leanne and Doug might have some kind of relationship.
Oh,
whoa! Well, if it's gonna happen, I think that's the best way for it to go for Doug
in terms
of no, but like to have another political animal in there that you know is also
he's just so lonely. I just feel for him. I know he's your favorite, but
yeah,
like,
he is. He is.
Oh, I don't like Stanford
at
all.
I want him to smile.
I'm all game for it. Yeah, I think that it's better that he's on his own.
Yeah, he's just a little too
icy.
Yeah,
hackers usually are portrayed smoother. It felt very sloppy.
It did feel very sloppy.
It felt sloppy, so it made you feel like this is going to come back to bite them somehow.
And then your comment about the House of Cards falling.
Yeah.
So the something cast. Hi, by the way. Thank you. So he said two things can bring down a House of Cards: outside influence or a collapse from within.
Right. Mm. Right. And it's very hard to believe that this administration would collapse on itself unless they let somebody like Aiden in who they didn't do enough. You know, it was really Leanne's guy. Like, Leanne brought this guy in.
They went
to
the undercover parking lot and they talked to him. Yeah.
I do think the former VP is going to cause a little bit of trouble because I think he was caught by those questions and those answers that he gave are going to come back to bite him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it really bites him. I don't know if it bites Frank, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it could bite him, but I don't know about
Frank. I think if it bites him, he's going to roll over on Frank with whatever he might have. But I don't think he's got much.
Yeah, I don't know if they have much because it's all speculation in Garrett Walker's camp.
Yeah.
I mean, Walker could speak against him, so it'd really be Walker speaking against the party, which is Walker willing to do that for democracy, possibly.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. We have some interesting predictions. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
So fun.
I want to go back home and watch 3 and 4 right now.
Yeah.
Might just do that.
Yeah.
Actually, I got enough time.
Yeah.
It's West Coast.
It's exactly
so hard
what
not
I'm
to
doing.
Watch the whole thing. It's been hard.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in.
My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Hi, everyone. Once again, my name is Louisa Sharamatian. You can find me on Instagram at Nobody Reads Anymore and on Twitter at Nobody Reads. And make sure to check out my latest book review on The Everything Store by Brad Stone, which talks about Jeff Bezos and Amazon.
Nice. Fantastic. And guys, thank you for joining the chat room. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All of the contributors.
You know,
shoot out some names. But thank you guys for joining. I am Kevin Ellis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Kevin Ellis.
Well, thank you guys. You guys have a good one.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.